You know what? It's really strange when you expect water, but you get a splash of raspberry. I was like, what in the world is this? Thank you, Mike. Good morning. My name's Toby. I'm going to be short. I'm going to be brief, but not rushed. All right? Hopefully I don't want to rush through this. We're going to be looking at Psalms, the book of Psalms. This collection of prayers. We've been in two different series since the summer, one on parables and alongside that about the wisdom literature of the Bible. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read Psalm chapter 1. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to go through an exercise together just to demonstrate what we had just talked about. And then I'm going to give you an assignment. That's kind of where we're going with that. All right. So I'm going to read Psalm chapter 1. If you do have your Bibles, actually, or even on your phones or physical Bibles, I do recommend you look at that. Some of the spacing here doesn't really reflect the kind of the way it's written out here, so it actually is helpful for you to see it. I think typically on your phone, those apps will also show this. So this is Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I'm going to start off with confession time. I'll go first, then it'll be you. True story. I grew up in the church, and for a long time, in my head, I said, put Psalms. I was like, oh, this is weird. There's a P. It wasn't like I was 6 or 7. I was like 10 or 12 in church, like, oh, Psalms? Like, that's it? It took me a while for that. Okay, so here it is. Here's your turn. How many of you are just batting? Oh, sorry. How should I say this? How many of you are just doing awesome in your prayer life? Hands up. You're just amazing. You wake up at the crack of dawn and you're on your knees and you're just ready to go, right? Right, Lawrence? Yeah, I'm sure there's a few of you here maybe are actually doing okay, but probably most of us would say, not so much, right? Prayer can be hard in the mornings, you know, often, even if you, when you remember to, you know, you're getting the sleep out of your eyes, and maybe your prayer goes like, oh yeah, God, thank you for this morning. Yeah, Costco, I need milk. And eggs, and I got to return that thing. Lord, help me with the return line. Your mind wanders often, doesn't it, when we pray? And even when we pray in groups, it actually helps because when we pray out loud and not just in our heads, out loud, we can do that. But even when we do that, sometimes it's slow. It feels weird and awkward. A few weeks ago, Vic said, when you start off to pray, it sucks. It's slow. It's awkward. You're like, okay, well, maybe I'll say this, and maybe she says that. Soon enough, often there's a momentum that picks up, right? Someone prays a prayer in faith, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to latch onto that, and there's momentum. But it takes time. It's really, really hard. And the amazing thing is that in the Bible, I don't know if you've opened a physical Bible recently, but smack, almost right in the middle of our Bible, is this massive, massive collection of prayer. It's huge. I mean, it doesn't look big, but like all of this is prayer. And here's the amazing thing. Most of the Bible, we could say, is God speaking to us, right? People who record what God has done, and God speaking to us. And then we have Jesus in the New Testament, and we have a record of his life, and he is speaking, like in his parables, he's teaching us. And then we have Paul in these letters to the church, and we hear it, we're like, wow, God is speaking to us. But right in the middle, in this huge collection, is what a lot of commentators and theologians say is words to give an answer to God. Actually, in all of the speaking to us, God actually even helps us to answer back to him. See, the Lord's Prayer, you guys know the Lord's Prayer, right? Does anybody remember saying it in school? I have this memory of saying the Lord's Prayer in school. Not going to happen anytime soon. But it, you know, the Lord's Prayer, it's you know, our Father, it's short, it's brief, it's really memorable, and maybe you're like that kind of, I'm like that kind of person. I'm very concise. I don't think in long sentences, all right? But maybe some of you are, well, by your own admission, maybe a little more long-winded, okay? You need just a few more words. And here in the Bible is chapter after chapter, song after song, page after page of prayer. It's rooted in the history of what's happened, and it's also, along with the book of Isaiah, the most quoted book in the New Testament. Over and over again, the New Testament, Jesus himself looks back in the Psalms, and they see what God is doing. And the Psalms is not just the prayer book of our Jewish friends. It really is a prayer book of Christianity. That is the book of Psalms. And the interesting thing is, right in the beginning of Psalms, there's 150. They're arranged into five books. Right at the beginning, chapters 1 and 2, we read chapter 1, is this introduction. If you notice, this is what we read is not a prayer. It's actually, most scholars think this was arranged, and people put in chapter 1 and chapter 2, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2, as a way of getting us ready for prayer, because most of the time, we're not ready. It's hard to just step in and just start praying. And there's wisdom here. It's like, I know you're not ready, so here's how you get ready. Here's how you begin to pray. And so what I want to do today is actually look at chapter 1 and say, okay, how is this getting us ready? How is this getting us ready? It starts off with the word blessed in chapter 1. Blessed is the man. Another word for this would be happy, actually. Happy is the person. People think it can mean blissful, happy, blissful. There's a sense of, you think of the person who you envy, not in that what they have, but actually their lives are just so full and so good. Like, it has that sense. They're blessed. Blessed is the man. When we enter into prayer, it gives us a direction where we're going. It's this happiness. This is holy happiness in the Lord. It's not like, the goal is not to end up like a monk who wakes up at 5 a.m. and you talk in slow, smoothing tones, I will pray now, and you know, you go on. That's not the goal. It's actually a happy life. That's the goal here. That's the direction. But immediately, we run into a dilemma. There are two ways to live. And this really, really speaks back to the wisdom literature we've been talking about. It first starts with saying, by what not to do. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Notice those verbs, walk, stand, and sit. Notice that pattern, walk, stand, sit. Notice the kind of people describing, wicked people, sinners, scoffers. Scoffers are people who've gone so far that they just sit down and they mock. They say, ah, enough of this. You're silly. Enough with this, God. I'm going to live my own way. I've made my decision. I've sat down and I've said, no, thank you. Maybe you know someone like that. Maybe you've sat in that seat before. But here it is in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. We start with a direction. There's a dilemma. Which way am I going to go? I'm going to go this way, a wicked way, pursuing evil? Or is it going to be this way? Is it going to be pursuing delighting in the law of God? This word law is translated Torah. Torah is often referred to the first five books of the Bible. It recalls what God did, the salvation history of Israel. God came down in Exodus. He saved the people of Israel by nothing they did. That story of Moses and the plagues, that's all there, Torah. But also it means instruction, means direction. It's like an arrow shooting forward. It's delighting in what God has said, in what God has done. And it says, on his law, on his Torah, he meditates day and night. See, before we get into prayer, we need to reorient ourselves to what God has already done, to how he has spoken. Before we say a word, we look back and say, what has God said? What has God done? And I don't know about you, but the word meditate is does not mean in this sense, empty yourselves and clear your mind and, you know, sit still. It's thinking about. It's actually engaging your mind. It's thinking about. It's murmuring. It's saying over again, okay, what has God done? And reading his word and being grounded in it. And it says this in verse 3. It gives us a picture. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yield its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. He gives us this picture of this. Think about a rooted tree right beside a river. So what does that mean? It means when drought comes, there's still a source. The roots are deep, so much so that the leaves, they never wither. It bears fruit. That's the kind of person that you can be. Is that the kind of person you want to be? A person who has character, the person who's not battered by, you know, the things that happen today or yesterday or tomorrow. There's a kind of internal strength. Is that the person you want to be? And here's the thing, my temptation. You know, last week Vic talked about friendship, and too, but it was for me and for Laura and I a tender thing, friendship. Because we've been back in Canada a year. In fact, just this week, we sent a video to our God's Tribe. God's Tribe is a church in Dar es Salaam. It's part of our family of churches. That's where we got engaged in advance and really how we came to know you guys. Celebrating 4 years. We had been there in the trenches for 3 years. And Trudy, she's the wife of the lead pastor, asked us to send a video message, and we did that. And it was an emotional thing for us to sit in front of this camera to say, guys, we miss you, we love you. We have a picture of Dar es Salaam on our wall. And there's a part of me that's like, God, I'm planted. I was planted. I had deep roots there. Right? That's where I am. And maybe some of you, it's not looking back, it's looking forward. It's like, man, the next thing, when I get the next job, when I hit the next mouth, then that's where I'll be planted. Maybe when I retire, that's when I'll have time to read God's word. Or whatever that is. But this is not that, because this says he is like a tree. So that no matter what circumstance you're in, no matter what the season is, you are like a tree now rooted. When you root yourself in the word of God now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the circumstances. It doesn't matter the storms. You are like a root. And I think what's beautiful is, think about a great tree with leaves and fruit. It gives shelter to people. The fruit is nourishment actually to others. You can actually be someone in your community, in your family, who loves people, who says, man, I want to be near that person. They're blessed. There's something about them, and I want to be near them. You know, often I think we feel unrooted. And it's interesting that the metaphor keeps going, because he says, the wicked are not so, but they are like chaff. You're like tumbleweed. Most of the time, I feel like tumbleweed just blowing. There is a wickedness. There's a room full of wickedness that we want our own way. right? We say, ah, God, yeah, I think I'm going to go my way. Right? Sometimes it's more subtle. Probably in this room, we it's more subtle the way we rebel, but there are others, of course, in this world who would shake their fists at God and say, no, thank you, I will go my own way, and the picture is like just chaff blowing. That's the picture. Verse 5 and 6 continue. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. You know, I love Alpha. We've been talking about Alpha for weeks and weeks. We've been showing you videos. Vic obviously just gave an announcement for it. I love the way that it's the hospitality. There's an invitation. I promise you the videos, if you haven't seen the videos, they will not make you or your friends cringe. It's not like the 80s and 90s. Like, oh, right? The video and the content is great. There's something about the casualness of eating together and just chatting. I really love that. But honestly, there is also behind it, and I think Vic touched on this, a real sense of there are consequences for the way you live. Right? If you go that way, the Bible is saying, you will not stand in judgment. That's the way. And although Alpha may have a friendly casualness about it, actually deep down, the heart of it is, please don't go there. Please don't go that way. And I hope you think about that for some of your friends. I hope you think, God, I love this person, but I can see they're going their own way. Please don't go that way. Come, have a look. What is this other way? What is this other way like? There is a real judgment that's going to happen. That is just a quick summary of chapter 1. And what I really want to encourage you to do, and that I'm going to talk about right now, is actually, okay, what does this meditating look like? What does this mean? Recently, just a few weeks ago, I've been using a method that I heard at the end of a sermon by Tim Keller. It was just like, it was last, like, okay, 5 minutes, here it is, this is what I do, boom. And I want to share it with you. And just talk through it. I think it has been so helpful. It's been so helpful for me. If you can hit the next slide, it's really easy to remember. And so this is the list that we have. You can see how they kind of, you know, alliterate. But Tim Keller says, look, you know what? Before you pray. The thing is, he really echoed what Psalm 1 said. Before you pray, you're not ready. So what he says is, he goes through these steps as he reads a passage of Scripture. And if you want to take notes, take a picture, I really recommend it. I'm gonna just talk through it. But really, to go through this process and to go through it till your heart is softened, until it's ready to just, until you can't help but to pray. But here's what it is. Read a passage of Scripture. It's good to have an idea of where it is in the Bible, kind of the context of where it is. But the main point isn't study. So we're not looking at, okay, what does this word mean? What is that? How does that all connect? Focus in on a part that is clear and that you understand. And begin this process. Rejoice. Thank God. Thank God for whatever aspect that is made clear in that passage. Say, God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you so much that it's revealed in the way that you've done this. And then the second step is to repent. Repent, not just kind of like, well, you know, I cut off someone today and, you know, I said a little swear word. No, not that. Repent in the way you disbelieve God for that. So if the pastor is saying, God is so good, he's so good to you all the time, he clothes the lilies of the field, you don't have to worry about anything, then it's repenting about the ways you're anxious all the time. You're worried about the next paycheck. You're worried about how your family is going to be taken care of. It's repenting concerning that thing. And then the next one is recount. Recount how Jesus and his gospel actually fulfills that. How he's actually rescued you from that. So it'd be in if we're talking about anxiety, we say, oh, Jesus, thank you that you came and that you died on the cross, Lord. You went through every pain and trial there is possible so that I could be in with the Father, so that I am counted a son and a daughter of the King. I am in your house. I have absolutely nothing to worry about. It's recounting how Jesus has helped in that situation. And then out of that request, and if it's anxiety, perhaps it's asking God to calm your spirit. It's asking the Spirit to come into your life, to remind you constantly of how you are in God's family, you are a child of God. And then rethink, how would this actually change how I live now? What steps and concrete actions would that be? And then reflect, why is God telling me now? Why is God, through this passage, telling me now, today, about anxiety, for example? And when you begin to do that, and honestly, I'm not a journaler, okay? I don't have a stack full of journals from 1997 about how I feel. Maybe some of you do, Michael, yeah. But honestly, writing this process has really helped focus. It helps me not think. Like, it helps your mind focus, for one, and it has really helped. And it does not have to be neat. That's the amazing thing, because God knows. God can read it. God knows. But in terms of a process, the difference between a day where I really write and do this in the morning versus where I'm like, I just kind of pray through it is amazing. Because by the end of the day, when I don't do this, I'm like, what was that? What did God say again? But when I write it, really comes in. So if it's just a piece of paper and a pen, if you have a book, that's great. But go through this process and do it till something in you is just sparking. And then go to God and begin praying at that point. I wanted to, I don't think we're going to do that, but I was going to read through Psalm 2. We're going to leave that. My assignment to you this week is to really to do this from Monday to Friday, five days, and to go through Psalm 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. They're the first Psalms. They're the Psalms of David, and they're great because you know what? David was rooted in real life. And in fact, there are headings that tell of the context of the situation he was in. This isn't written by, you know, monks who kind of go away to the mountain and they just start praying. This is real life right here. And just as an example, the first prayer in the book of Psalms is Psalm 3. And the first line is, "Oh Lord, how many are my foes? God, I am surrounded by enemies." That's the first prayer. And there's this rawness to the prayers. All right. It probably says more than you might be comfortable with. It's raw, it's real, and here's what I love about it. A few years ago, somebody gifted Loretta a coloring book, and we were a little puzzled. We had been living in Tanzania, and someone gave her a coloring book with, you know, crayons. And so, I don't know if you've seen these. I didn't do any research. The best I can say is they're adult coloring books. Am I right? They're kind of they're complex, they're intricate. And it actually made me think of this because so much of the Psalms serves as a structure. The picture is there. Your job is actually just to fill it in. It's almost pre-made for us in terms of guiding us to pray. And so I want to encourage you, trying out this process, getting a piece of paper, getting a pen, sitting down, you know, in the morning if you can. Maybe it's just an extra 10 minutes. And for me, a little like 10 minutes less of snoozing, and to get engaged in the Word, because we want to be like trees and not like chaff. Am I right? We want to be well-rooted trees and not blown back and forth like chaff. Let's pray. Lord, we just repent because we're we're not doing very well in prayer. And maybe it is because we have not been rooted in your word. We don't read it regularly. We maybe just kind of throw up some Hail Mary prayers and we're in trouble and hope for the best. But God, I pray that this would be our thing. You know, in life, it's often, you're known for something, right? You're like, maybe you're the handyman. So like, you're the handy guy. Or man, you're the PhD guy. So you're the smart guy. Or maybe you're the one who cooks and bakes. And yeah, she's the one who does that. And we have this identity and we kind of have these different things we do. But God, let our thing be that we are rooted in the Word. That we know it inside and out like the back of our hands, that we have scripture memorized so that when we're in trouble or when our friends are in a situation, they can come to us and as well-rooted trees that have deep roots getting water constantly, that we would be a source of joy and goodness to others. That Lord, in the midst of our own storms in our lives, that we would feel secure. We would feel secure knowing what you have done in Jesus and, Lord, what you will continue to do through your Spirit. So, Lord, thank you for your word. May there be no fear and no obligation and no sense of duty, Lord. We want to come with delight. We know that you actually desire to bless us in this process. So, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name.